Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Every girl in this town felt the wind in her hair, from the Ferris wheel spinning at the county fair. Looked out from the top and wondered, what's out there for me?
Hey everybody, it's Jim Asker on the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast. And today we're going to be talking with Trisha Yearwood. Hello, Trisha.
Hello, how are you, Jim?
And the one and only Leslie Simon.
Hello, Jim.
Who is the general manager.
Gwendolyn Records.
Gwendolyn Records.
Pearl and
right.
Gwendolyn.
Pearl and Gwendolyn.
Thank you both for taking the time. I know it's like busy as can be.
It's good. It's good busy. I'm busier now than I think I've ever been, and that's saying a lot, and it's all good stuff.
And the record will be out by the time people hear this, but it's coming out Friday.
Yeah. I've been waiting. It's been a few months of kind of having it all done and ready to go. And now in having the really cool response to the first single, now I'm just ready for everybody to hear it.
The new single is great.
Thank you.
Every Girl. And Every Girl is the name of the album. And the single's number 35 this week. I do the chart, so I know exactly where everything is. So I'm going to watch that shoot up the chart.
Well, it's got good momentum, and it's been crazy because I've been saying this all day, but the truth is, when I made this album, you know, I just didn't have any expectation other than wanting to make music that I loved. And so I've been so pleasantly surprised at the response to this song. And it's really been cool because it really leads in so nicely to the album release and then to a tour in the fall, and better than I could have ever dreamed.
And Leslie was saying, talking about all the music that you listened to, and how did you come about Every Girl in This Town being the single, both of you?
Well, you can tell your version.
I can give both of your take on it.
I want you to hear Trisha's version first, because she actually found these songs. And that, to me, is the extraordinary start for all of it.
Well, for me, you know, I don't know when this airs. I'm 54. I might be 55 by the time this airs. I might have a birthday
it's
coming up.
Airing on Wednesday.
Okay, so I won't be 55 yet. September.
You're so open.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, you know.
Leslie asked how old I was, and I didn't want to tell her.
No, I just don't care. You know, I got that from my mom. It's like, I don't care.
You look great.
Thank you very much. I plan to have a lot of work done.
Exactly like you did in 1991, which was the first time I met you.
I don't think so, but that's really sweet of you to say. But anyway, I old school, Garth Fundis and I, who made most of my albums together, my producer.
Garth Fundis, legendary producer.
Legendary. Mm-hmm. He and I, he's a song man. You know, he produced Don Williams, and he...
Were you a Don Williams fan?
Yeah.
Those are such great radio songs, weren't they?
Yes, and went to see Don live. You know, Don would come out on a bar stool and a guitar and just sit, and he'd play, and he wouldn't ever move. And then he'd get done with his song and he'd just say, thank you.
I never got a chance to see him live.
It was so great. It was so great. But anyway,
okay.
Fundis and I would go around back in the day and sit with publishers and songwriters and have them play their songs for you. And people don't really do that much anymore. Everything's sent over email or whatever. But I like sitting face to face, because that way you can really give feedback in the moment of like, I like this song, but it's not quite me, but it's in the ballpark, or no, not so much. And it gives song pluggers a chance to go back into their catalogs and really bring and really get feedback to be able to really pitch you mm-hmm. better. And you get better songs that are more suited to you that way. So we did that for this album. The first response from everybody was, you're making a whole album? I guess the kids today aren't really making full albums anymore that much. So, but with vinyl coming back, I'm really happy that people are starting to listen to a full body of work again. And I would never do it any other way. And Every Girl in This Town was one of the first songs I heard, and I just loved it. I didn't say, this is a single. Leslie can tell you when I played it for them, I said, I don't even know if I don't even know if we're going to radio. Like, I don't know if I don't know if radio is going to play me. And, so I don't even know if we're going to radio, and Leslie can pick it up
it
from there.
It was pretty, so we had released Let's Be Frank, which was this
incredible set of Frank Sinatra songs.
Exactly. And then in April, Trisha had us come in and it was just core team, and she and Garth Fundis said, we want to play you this music. And she prefaced it with, I don't know what we're going to do with this. All I know is I just went out and made songs that I love. I recorded songs that I love, and I want y'all to hear it. And then we'll talk about what we're going to do. And Every Girl was the fourth track that we listened to. It starts off with Working on Whiskey, and we were all just like blown away. The vocals that came out, the music that came out, we were all just like, wow. And then we got to Every Girl, and before the song was over, I think three of us turned around and said, that's a single. We're taking that to radio.
Well, yours is an iconic voice. I mean, you know that.
Well, you're
right?
Very sweet. I mean, but I'm hoping that, when people hear it, they go, oh, that's Trisha. That's what you want. That's the legacy you want to leave, is that you're recognizable. But there's so many factors that play into what's successful, what gets played, all that stuff. So the cool thing about being 54 is you kind of lose you lose your filter, one. That's not so good. But you also lose the inhibitions and there's a freedom that comes with that, with time, that allows you to go in and just have fun. And when I listen to this record back, I don't have one regret. I don't have any song I would have done differently. And whatever happens with it, I'm good, because I'm so happy with the way it came out. And that's a freedom that comes with taking all the pressure off yourself.
And there are a lot of great artists who make great albums who don't care about getting radio traction anymore. Leanne Womack, for one, who makes tremendous
amazing
albums.
Yes.
Did you go out with the intention of, like, I'm going to get this, I hope to get it played?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. I mean, I really did go into it thinking, I'm a woman. That's against me. I'm 54. That's against me.
I want to talk about that woman.
I've been doing this for 28 years. That's against me. So I didn't have an expectation. And what's really funny is it was so freeing. And then when the record debuted higher than any single I've ever debuted, then I was like, I still don't care. Wait a minute.
It was your highest debut.
Yes.
I happened to write that,
crazy.
By the way.
And I was like, let's fact check that. But it's true. So now, of course, I'm trying to be cool about it and try to have the same mentality of, like, that's not why I made this record. But I'm a competitive person. I want to succeed. Of course, I want it to sell records. I want to have hits. But I don't think the glimmer of hope from this single coming out so strong has made me remember, I really do want that. I wasn't expecting it.
And Leslie's at the helm of, you don't work radio anymore, but you oversee the team that does.
Well, so, and I'm always going to be a part of what's working radio. I'm always going to oversee and be a big part of that strategy, because that's really where I came from in this business. And so for me, listening to that music, we have an incredible radio team with Mandy and Andy and Chris and Glenn and Hillary, but we all work together. It's a great collaboration.
I just got an email from Andy yesterday. Jim, can you explain to me why blah, blah, blah?
Right.
and Leslie's a little tenacious too.
Yeah, well, it's important to have those voices, because there's a lot of static on, no pun intended, on the radio, and there's so many songs. It's such a bottleneck. It's so hard to get played, no matter what man or woman. It's hard to get your music to get up those charts. So
yeah.
It takes a team that's really tenacious. And I think also it's been impressive to see what this team has done under the Pearl flag and also the Gwendolyn flag, with not having major label money to be able to get, accomplish what they've accomplished.
But it is kind of thought of as a major label, though, right? The perception.
We certainly don't feel like we're perceived as a major label. If you do, that's interesting. But I mean, we absolutely think of ourselves as an independent. We're just an independent.
Garth that has, and Trisha
has Garth on one imprint and Trisha on another. But we're not backed by Sony or Universal or Warner. I mean, it's different in the sense that we don't even have distribution in that way. So we're a small group of people,
right,
that are working, you know, our individual artists.
And I just want to reset for a second. This is Jim Asker on the Billboard Chart Beat podcast, and we're talking with Trisha Yearwood and Leslie Simon, and it's really exciting about the new album. And you were just going to say something, Trisha.
Well, I was just going to say, we're talking about, you know, that it is maybe perceived as a major label because of Garth Brooks, the name, you know, and I mean, I live with the most successful artist in the history of music, basically. So it would seem that...
Are you guys competitive at all, by the way?
Well, yes, we are.
With each other, I mean.
Yes,
with
are.
Each other.
Yes, we are. I'm probably more competitive with him than he is with me. But it's good because it's always a challenge. It's always like, I'm going to, you know, and he hates it when I say, there's what you can do as Garth Brooks, and then there's the rest of us. Like, he's a phenomenon. He is different in the way he does his business and what he's accomplished in his career. No one will ever touch. There's a part of me that has to be okay that selling 15 million records is like, it's not that great in my family, at my house, but in the world, it's good, you know? So I have to be okay with that. But I will say that, you know, to watch Garth, and because he is Garth Brooks, which is a larger than life figure than the person, to see the struggle at radio, and he had a number one single, and how hard it was, you know, to watch this team, how they worked and worked and worked. That was one of the reasons why I really was like, I'm not sure we're going to radio. Because if it was that hard for Garth Brooks to get a number one, what is going to happen to Trisha Yearwood out there? So they were the ones who really believed. And this team has really been a believer. They're just amazing.
Leslie, have you reintroduced Trisha to a lot of the programmers? Have you been out there talking to some of them?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done a little radio?
We invited them in to actually play them some things before the single came out.
Some of the same guys as... from the 1990s,
oh, yeah.
Right?
There's a few of us that have been
but
here this
even
long.
Before the music came out, I mean, on the world tour, what Garth and Trisha both do with their friends in radio and the love and support that they have for radio and radio for them, and just that partnership is pretty extraordinary. I mean, it's not like you come and you do a meet and greet and you shake hands and get your photo made and you move on in a cattle call line. I mean, that's not...
Oh, I know. So, I know how they do their backstage.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and when you tell people, it's just amazing how you guys do your backstage.
But all of our friends in radio have been experiencing that with Trisha while she was making the music. So it wasn't like she was ever away when she didn't have something on the radio, because she's been right there. The world tour started in 2014. And so for the last 5 years, she's been very forward facing. And now to have that music and to be able to, the whole time on the world tour, the question was, when are you going to have new music? When are you going to have new music?
And this is your first full solo album since 2007. Is that right?
I believe that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I think too, though, I do have a lot of friends in radio who are rooting for me and want me to do well. But I think there were a lot of people that are like, we just hope that we can, we don't know what we're going to hear. We hope it's something that we can get excited about. So I'm really proud for this song. I mean, I didn't write Every Girl in This Town, so I can say this. It's a strong song. And as much as people love me, which I appreciate, and want to help me, the song has to be there, you know? And so they've been really, I think it was kind of nice to see everybody's face when you'd play them the song. I'm like, okay, we can run with this.
And you had quite a buzz going about whether Don Henley was going to be on the record or not. I mean, you got it. Was that, how did you guys get that little rumor going? Or was it just something that happened organically?
I think it wasn't a plan. I think maybe I dropped it, or maybe somebody asked me if I was going to have any special guests or something. And I think I said something like...
I think it happened during CMA Music Fest.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I might have just dropped a name. I don't know. But,
Love you anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Is it the last track on the record?
Last track. Yeah. Written by Mike Reed, who is incredible.
Leap of Faith.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he also wrote I Can't Make You Love Me, the Bonnie Raitt song.
He was a linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals.
He was. So he's this big guy. He's so sweet, and he's been married for 40 something years. And the first line of this song is poetry. It says, "You were the light that wounds the eye." And I said, "Where did you get that?" And he said, "I walked in and saw my wife 40 years ago. And when I saw her, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the death of me. Like, this is the one, like, this is it. And the song is really about whatever happens, I'm going to love you anyway. That, like, you're it, like, you're it. And it's just so beautiful. I wanted it to be piano vocal. I wanted it to be the last song. And I just kept hearing Henley's voice. And, you know, he's been so sweet to me ever since Walk Away Joe. He's been a friend, and I don't call him unless it's something I really think, you know, believe strongly in. And I sent it to him and I said, what do you think? And he's like, it's beautiful. I'd love to. So I'm so happy to have him on this record.
You were the light that wounds the eye, the pain that time could not deny. I felt resistance fading fast.
That song absolutely slays me. That's one of my favorite songs on the album.
And I think people are going to love it.
Oh, I do. We had strings on it. And then after Henley sang on it, I'm like, take the strings off. We don't need that. We just need God.
So we first heard it. Yeah. When we first heard it, it was the version with the strings without Henley's vocal. And then when we heard it with his vocal, it just was like, that's exactly what this song was supposed to be.
And yeah, they find their way. They find their way how they're supposed to end up.
Which song did Carla Bonoff write?
She wrote a song called Home.
Cut three.
And it's a 70s song, long before you kids over there were born. And Carla,
I saw her in the 70s.
Yeah, I saw her last year. She played here in
with
Nashville.
With like Andrew Gold playing with her and some of Linda Ronstadt's band.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, so I discovered her through Ronstadt, who's my hero. And so Carla and I have, it's very strange when you strike up friendships with these people that were your heroes. And she and I have kind of struck up a friendship. And I was talking to her about music and I was like, have you written anything lately that, you know, I'd love to hear, and I'd love to have a Carla, I'd love to cut a Carla Bonoff song. And she said, not really lately, but you should think about Home. And I kind of, I've cut a couple of things that Ronstadt's recorded, but I mostly try to stay away from her because I'm such a fan that I just think it's sacred, you know? And, but she had never recorded Home. In fact, there's a 70s version of Bonnie Raitt singing Home, which is very cool. You should check that out. But, Carla also recorded it. So I kind of morphed those versions together and it's one of my favorite songs. So it's the only kind of throwback on here that some people might know from the past.
And home sings me of sweet things. My life there has its own wings.
Do you have a favorite of favorites on this album?
I could go through every song and tell you why I'm obsessed with every song. Right. I mean,
Leslie, do you have one?
It's really hard because, you know, I always feel like I have a different favorite song depending on the mood that I'm in, because that's what music is supposed to do, right? It's supposed to fit wherever you are in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
And so depending on when I'm listening to the album, I have different favorites. I mean,
yeah.
The second I heard Every Girl in This Town, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is the song for every single little girl who's trying to decide if she
video.
Can make her dreams come true.
Yeah.
I just love
it
the
really
fact that it's just like normal girls.
We just
that.
Want to be goofy. It's like, let's just be real. Let's just have some fun. Uh-huh. And every girl represented really fun. Yesterday, I had a rehearsal for the first time with my band for the tour coming up and some of the press we're doing. And so we ran the new things. We ran about five new things. And so it was the first time I've done these songs live.
Is Heather still playing with you?
No, she's not. Her boys are in the thick of high school, so she's not going to be on this.
She was a fiddle player.
Yeah, and she's still a dear friend
of mine.
Married
to Royce.
And we will work together again. But it was interesting to go through the gamut of emotions singing these songs, because I did Working on Whiskey, which is this kind of gut-wrenching.
Great song.
You know, I love all the gut-wrenching, really depressing, sad songs. They make me happy.
Well, Memphis was such a great song of yours.
Yeah, thank you. I love that song, too.
I love that song.
It's a fun song to do live. Mm. But it was really interesting. So they just all, there's something special about them for different reasons. And it's not a cop-out. You know, normally when I'm asked, I can't give an answer, but I usually say the song Remembers When is one of my favorite songs I've ever recorded. But on this album, I will be hard-pressed to pick a favorite. I think like Leslie said, it kind of, there's a little something for everybody. You know, there's the dark and deep songs. There's the up-tempo kind of lighter songs. Drink Up is just a fun song.
There's Bible on a 44.
Yeah, Bible on a 44, which is really about my dad. And, you know, Just Tell Me Something I Don't Know is like this gut-wrenching song about a relationship. And like, you know it's going to implode, but you're going to do it anyway. It's like there's just so many emotions covered.
You run the gamut of emotions. And You have the sexy and light, What Gave Me Away, which is just like you so had, cool. And then
I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, continue.
And then you have Bible in a 44 that, I mean, I just lost my daddy. Trish has lost her dad. It just is, you hear that song and I can't hold the tears back when I hear that song.
That's going to be a hard one to do live. I did it yesterday in rehearsal and I'm like, okay, how am I going to, how am I going to get through this?
It's You've had 19 top 10 singles.
I have.
Yeah.
See, you know more about me than I do. And I'm going to use that stat.
14 top 10 albums.
Nice.
Are there any of these songs that remind you of one of your hits from the past that fans would say that reminds me of?
It's interesting because what people have said is that Every Girl in This Town reminds them of She's in Love with a Boy. And I'm not sure, you know, I think what for me, it's that it's more of the vibe of the song. It's kind of up the you know, melodically. It almost, the intro is very similar, which I hadn't thought about until somebody said this to me. I'm like, it is kind of similar. It kind of starts the same way. So that song kind of reminds me of that. And I think that may be one of the things that has struck a chord with people when they hear it, because it's like, this is the Trisha we want to hear and we remember, but it's also sounds new.
She's in love with the boy. She's in love with the boy.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's meant to be?
I want to ask you both about something. You said something early on when we started talking about being a woman. And if I could just finish this out here. You know, I wrote a column about a chart showing no women in the top 20 for the first time in the history of the chart. She's in Love with the Boy, which is your debut single that went to number one. When Kelsea Ballerini's first number one happened, it was the first debut by a solo woman since Jesus Take the Wheel. So what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have an answer. I can tell you this. I think, you know, I come from the school of Reba McEntire where it's like, you just work. Like, I never really thought in the 90s, and first of all, you couldn't throw a rock and not hit a chick singer in the 90s, so we didn't have an issue. But it was never, well, it's just harder for a woman. That's a fact in every business. But you never, like the school of Reba is, that's not something you focus on. You just work. You work hard. And my husband famously says that women work twice as hard to get half as much. And he's probably—
Who's your husband?
He's probably right about that. He's probably right about that. But the bottom line is, you know, when I moved, when I married Garth and moved to Oklahoma for 14 years, I thought, you know, radio was left in pretty good hands. There were a lot of chick singers on the radio. And then when I moved back here 4 years ago, that was one of the first questions was, what do you think about the fact that there's not any women on radio? And I'm like, oh my God, there aren't. Like, what is happening? There's two girls on radio. There's Miranda and Carrie. And we're seeing that trend change. I think it's a, I don't know why, I don't know why it's happened, but I think the good news is with all of the finally we're having the conversation out loud that, you know, for whatever reason, more women are being played, whether it's that radio stations are scared and they think, well, we better play the girls, or that they're just, to me, there's just all these excuses that don't, there's no basis for. There's no research that I've seen that shows that people turn the channel if you play two girls back to back on the radio. There's no research that shows, like, I don't see how they're coming up with their stats. So, or, well, the girls just aren't bringing good songs. It's like, well, that, I mean, that's not true.
Women don't like to hear women. That's the one that I find
that's
hysterical.
The worst one, too. Like, it's like, well, really? You know, that's really dumb. But to imagine that the women don't want to hear songs about themselves is ridiculous. So I think that if, as you know, what happens when there's a struggle or diversity and people talk about all this stuff, then all the women band together. And that's what was kind of cool is I noticed that at CMT during CMA Fest was that I'm thrown in a dressing room with all these girls who grew up on She's One of the Boys. So they were 4 years old when that song came out. And they are like, oh, we're so glad you have a song on the radio. We love every girl in this town. And you're sitting there with Raylan and Laura and Elena and Kelsey Ballerini and Carly Pierce. And we're all talking about it. And you're seeing this camaraderie that is really cool that comes when you sometimes when you're up against it. So I think it's I think the women are strong, and I don't think they're really taking no for an answer. But it also is the men, and there are several men, including my husband, who are talking about it. Like it's also the men in the industry who have to say this isn't right.
Yeah, it's a bad look for when you see the chart. And I had a couple of PDs say that to me, and they said, "Well, you can't use my quote." And then a couple of them actually went on the record and said it's a really, like Tim Roberts, really good programmers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. So I was a programmer the first time in 1983, right?
You have the answer.
In my early 20s, and a consultant said to me then, as a new PD, you don't play two women back to back and you don't have two women disc jockeys back to back. And I said, but I was on the air since I was 18. I said, I've never heard a listener say that.
Right.
And I never paid attention to my whole career in radio. And the other thing is that, and I really believe this, good programmers will say it's not about whether it's a group, a woman, a duo, a whatever. It's about the song. And then you have to look at, well, how many women are on the rosters of these record labels? Like, how many are they offering up?
There are plenty that are offered up right now, I would say. I mean, you know, what we hear a lot is, well, you know, artist X, male artist X is out testing female artist X.
Now, when you say testing,
we're talking
for anybody who doesn't
research.
Know, research is huge
and
for radio.
So my question then is, well, did you start male artist X right into a all-day rotation at 25 times a week? Where did you start female artist X? My guess is you probably started her in overnights. And then maybe after 6 weeks, she started seeing a little bit of evening airplay. So her 100 spins that are primarily in nights and overnights are not the same 100 spins of his all day long.
And that's another thing. We didn't have overnight spins years ago.
Right.
We didn't. When we played a record, we played it. And songs went up, like your hits went up the chart in 12, 13 weeks.
Right. Yeah. She's Another Boy was a 14 week.
So you could have 5 singles off of an album.
Yes.
And now it's how many, Leslie?
Oh,
sometimes 52. I mean, sometimes a whole year.
I mean, how long did Kelsey's last record take to go to number one? That was close to 50 weeks, wasn't it? And she's about as hot as you get as
30
a female.
Something, I think, to get on the chart, though.
Right.
Before it gets
Before
on the chart, it's a few
weeks.
Before
it got on the chart. I mean, from when they released it until when it went to number one. And she's as hot as you get. I mean, you know, it shouldn't take Kelsey Ballerini that many weeks to hit number one. It was, I think, 18 months from the number one she had had before.
Yes.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Think about that.
Before Carly Pierce had her number one, it was a while in between. It's always a while.
And you're not going to see that from the male artists out there. And by the way, that's not taking away from the music that the men are making. My question is, if you gave that female artist the exact same start that you're giving this male artist and they got the exact same exposure, I don't believe that those songs would test that differently when they're both great songs. And obviously, if eventually the song goes to number one after 36 weeks or 18 months or whatever, it was going to test. It just needed exposure. But if you if it takes, you know, 10, 12, 14, 16, 20 weeks before anybody even hears it, because there are not a lot of people that are really jamming out to the radio at 3 a.m.
and radio is corporate now. And when I was in radio, you could only own 12 radio stations. So there were hundreds of program directors out there trying to kill each other and hire the best talent. And now we have, you know, cyber jocks and all of that, which, you know, I don't think has helped either.
And I honestly can't even say if the corporatization of radio has as much of an impact, because we still see our team talk to individual programmers. Mm-hmm. For the most part, they're not being dictated to on what they can play. So it is about where you're starting a record. And you're never, ever going to get a record to test if it is spending 6 to 8 to 10 weeks in overnights. And if it's never getting that daytime airplay. And then people just after 10 weeks, well, I've already played that 10 weeks and I've got 100 spins. Okay, well, of those 100, you have about 18 in a time when somebody could hear it. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's still not testing. And those are the conversations that are shocking, I guess I would say.
And also, to your point, what you're saying is that you're not really comparing. It's not
apples to apples.
No, you're not comparing apples to apples. And my thing is always, let the people decide. People will, the congregation of people who are listening to country radio will let you know what they like. But if they don't get a chance to hear it, they can't like it or hate it.
Are you a chart watcher by chance?
Well, I really am not, although I am right now.
Even years ago you weren't?
I was when I had singles out. Mm-hmm. You know, I would watch it.
But you got one out.
But yeah, I was. I do, but
we
don't.
We don't send her charts every week or Garth. I mean, we don't.
I'm just curious, personally, I mean, if you are.
I can't live and die by that. I mean, I know that the way the charts are done now, that the way the streaming element is in and research and all that stuff, I can't really get too much into those weeds because I don't really understand it all. And it goes back to I love this song. I love this album. And I want people to have a chance to hear it and make up their own mind. So that's the extent of what I care about, what's happening on the charts.
And I hope they do, because they'll love it.
Well, I hope so too.
And the good thing is that I think it's a good thing that since I do the chart, Nashville is still a radio town, and the airplay chart, the purely airplay chart is still the chart, along with Hot Country Songs, which is a hybrid chart of streaming, sales, mm-hmm. and airplay. Leslie, what do you think? Do you look at all the different, are you looking at streaming numbers and?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think
this has turned into quite a little data conversation.
Yeah, not to get too boring. Streaming certainly matters. I think on-demand streaming matters a little bit more than just the overall streaming numbers, because I think that some of those numbers can still be manipulated. And it's interesting to hear radio's perspective of streaming, because while some programmers really live and die by those streaming numbers, others believe that they're so manipulated that unless it's an on-demand streaming number, it's not a real number. And then what part of on-demand is actually program streams in a playlist, and what is actually on-demand from a listener? So, I mean, it's all interesting. You can't take any one thing and say this one thing is the gospel. Right. This is the one and only truth that there is. Anytime you're looking at metrics in any industry, you have to look at the whole big picture, right? You have to be able to look at every single piece.
You know, one of my first general managers, Claire in Richmond, of course, a woman, said to me, and I was still really young at the time, in my 20s, and she said to me, Jim, don't worry about the ratings. Don't get obsessed with the ratings. Don't get obsessed with research. You just make a good radio station and let me worry about that stuff. And I listened to that through my whole career that, okay, it's not testing, but I really like this song, so I'm going to keep playing it.
But you're the rare breed, you know, and there are people like
there
you
are
who are still
like
on radio,
that,
which is wonderful, you know, because that's how things happen. You know, I go back to when She's in Love with the Boy came out. It was when, you know, videos were everything, you know, and CMT was like, that was like where you saw the song mm-hmm. before it hit radio. And the video for She's in Love with the Boy came out 2 weeks before we sent the song to radio. And people were really responding to the video and calling radio. So by the time the song got to radio, they played it because they had already been getting calls on it. And that was something that you could do. And I actually told people, because we do a lot of stuff with social media and we're telling people that what's coming. And I said, I know that there might be a mentality of like, it doesn't matter if you call your station anymore, but call your station. And a lot of people did.
Or
and it really,
socially,
and people do respond.
And I think it still matters.
I think it does too.
What do you think? What do you both think about your longevity, being so strong as an artist? What's the secret to that?
Sometimes I think when I look back on it, it doesn't feel, it's 28 years this year. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. It goes by quickly, it's
it does
fast.
Go quick,
it does really quickly. But I think that there's two things. I think one is to continue to, do what you do. And if you're going to call yourself an artist, then you have to be true to yourself no matter what. You can't try to make a record for what the trend is, what you think people are going to like. That's never going to end well for you. You have mm-hmm. to really follow your heart, and then you can sleep at night no matter what happens. That's the first thing. And the second thing for me is I really want to watch myself and catch myself and not be one of those older artists who goes, well, back in the 90s, things were done right and everything was great. And I always want to, even if an artist that I like as a person is not making music that I would necessarily make, that doesn't mean that I don't support that artist. I don't want to be the old school. I want to be present, and I want to be current in not just the music I make, but in the support I give to what's current.
But with that said, do you still like singing X's and O's and She's in Love with the Boy? I mean, those are, and to hear the fans singing those back to you,
yeah,
is it still
I
fun
do.
To sing those
I
songs?
I do, and I think that's because I never have recorded one song that I didn't love. I never recorded a song thinking it would be a hit, because you never know. I mean, if you record a song, and I've had plenty of people say, you should cut this, this would be a hit. And in my head, I'm like, okay, if I don't like it and it's a hit, then I'm singing a song I hate every night. And if I hate it and I record it and it's not a hit, then I sold my soul for no reason. So there's never a good reason to record a song you don't feel strongly about.
I never met a country fan that, don't take this the wrong way, I've never met a country fan that doesn't love Trisha's music. And
I haven't either. And even before I worked with her, I felt that way. I mean, when I was
and personality wise too, it's just, you've always had this, you've always been friends with radio guys, the programmers. And when I say guys, I mean men and women, and the fans love you. So, I think they're going to be welcoming you with open arms.
I think it comes from really feeling grateful and enjoying and being on your path. Like I didn't choose music. It chose me. Honestly, I never said, hey, I think it'd be really fun to do that. I was like, at five, I'm a singer. How do I get to Nashville? How do I do this? I mean, I was very focused on what I wanted to do. So I feel so lucky. I mean, and I feel happy. I'm enjoying, this week is crazy. We have an album release. There's a lot going on. I've enjoyed every conversation I've had today, and I've had a lot of conversations today already.
How's this one going?
It's going good. Because I love the topic. I like talking about music. I like talking about what's happening in our business, and I love singing. I mean, it's like, I can't imagine, of all the things I do, this is what feeds my soul, so I can't imagine not doing it.
Are you going to go to some of the shows, Leslie? Her shows, when she starts the tour.
Her tour? Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to get a lot of them. I'm really, really excited to see the tour, both the symphony dates in Nashville and then at the tour in...
Is it the Every Girl Tour?
Yeah,
it is.
And it starts at the Sherman Horn in Nashville, three dates in early October. And then how long will it go?
It's about 23 dates through, I think it's the 7th of December, 8th of December.
Nice. Who else is on the bill?
Right now we're figuring that out. And I don't know if I can announce who's on the bill, but I have an old friend who's a girl that I did a lot of shows with back in the 90s who's going to do some shows with me.
I could probably guess. I'm not going to start guessing. I'm not going to start.
Kim Ritchie. He's going to do some shows with me.
Oh,
and Kim cool. and our old pals.
Great writer too.
Yeah. Great writer. So it definitely is going to be female opening, mm-hmm. Female opening for a female. It's just not done, Jim.
with a female team around her. Oh my gosh.
And what kind of venues? Are you playing some theaters?
Yeah, mostly theaters. And a lot of places I've played before that I love, places that I want to go back to. And it's just, and I don't think, Leslie, I don't know if you've ever seen me do a show like this. I mean,
no,
on the Garth tour, it was great. I was kind of shiny quarter. I didn't have to worry about putting, butts in seats. And I got to go out in the middle of his show and do five or six of the big hits. Everybody sings along and then I'm done. And the pressure's on him. And I loved it. And it was a chance for me to, there's something about watching 16 to 18,000 people singing along with She's Another Boy that's really cool. This is different. This is more like an evening with, it's a conversation. And it gives me the opportunity to do those hits that people want to hear, but also to kind of delve a little deeper into some of the album cuts from the albums and go different places depending on the night. So I'm excited about it.
What do you want fans to get from this album and from your shows coming up?
I just, you know, the fans who've been with me since day one, I hope it's just a sigh of relief. Like, we've missed this and this is what we wanted and expected. And, but also I hope that there's that they hear this album and, you know, the perfect storm is that it reminds them of something they loved before, but it's also new.
Won't it be cool that they're bringing, their daughters, and sons to the show, old fans of yours.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's very cool. One of the things I noticed on the Garth tour, is that, that people are bringing their kids and sharing that music with them. And so to walk out there and see somebody singing She's in Love with the Boy, for instance, that is a kid who's like 20 and you're like that, they were not born when this song was released.
Or a kid who's like 12.
Right. And they're, I mean, and they know every ones. Word, you yeah. know, it's like those kids are raised right.
Well, what was the last great show that each of you saw, not in your realm, something that you saw that really knocked you out?
Well, the last show I saw was Cher, which blew me away because Cher is 72 years old and she changed clothes 9 times and she danced and she was amazing. And then the other show that I saw that was, not a country show was Bruno Mars. Bruno's show, I've seen it a couple of times. Yeah. It's very much the same.
It's like a roller coaster ride,
it
right?
It is, but it's just fun. And it's a set show that's got a plan and you know what's going to happen. Kind of, you know, I've seen it twice. It's the same show. It's high energy. It's fun. All the songs are, you know, I love it when you go to a show and you know all the songs, you know, so it's like, it's cool.
How about you, Leslie?
I think one of the coolest experiences I've had was seeing Springsteen on Broadway. Mm. That was unlike anything I've ever seen before. And it was more of like a one-man show where he told the stories of the songs while he sang those songs in this really intimate setting. And it was an extraordinary experience. Mm-hmm. I walked away from that going, wow, as a music person, I needed to see music in that context. It was really beautiful.
Interesting. Okay.
How about you?
Well, you know, I grew up, Jerry's going to give me a rough time because I mentioned Springsteen a lot. I grew up a huge Springsteen fan.
Did you see him on Broadway?
No, I didn't want to see it, actually.
Why?
Oh, I don't want to get into it.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
All right, quickly. Here's a guy who's been singing about factory workers all his life and being that guy. That's why we loved him. I grew up in upstate New York. And all of a sudden, he's playing for $750 a ticket. And it bothered me.
Well, when you listen
maybe if
to
Bruce
him,
hears this and calls me and invites me to a show.
Oh, my gosh. I think when you listen to him tell the stories of those songs, I mean, it's, you know, to me, the stories of those songs are his family and his life and his father. And it's so much like what we were just talking about here. I mean, I go through this music and I go, you know, Ashley McBride wrote Bible in a 44. And we both heard that song and immediately connected to our fathers. And hearing that song. I mean, the first time I heard it was before my father passed away, and I had tears streaming down my face listening to it.
It's always a personal connection,
well,
isn't it?
Well, and that's what makes all music great. I mean, when you talked about earlier, when Trisha talked about earlier, not trying to make music that fit into what somebody was looking for or because this person says this is a hit. When music really connects, it's because there's a message that is incredibly personal to each person that hears it. It's why we couldn't answer what our favorite song is because it's...
You can never.
You can't. Mm-hmm. You connect to a moment in time. That's what makes music so special. And so that's what I loved about that show of his because it tells those stories, but it also gives me a different connection to those songs in that moment. It's what I love about this album. I mean, it's what you see on the stadium tour and on the world tour with Garth is there's a personal connection with this man and that person on the back row mm-hmm. all the way to the person on the front row. Mm-hmm. And that connection is difficult to, I can't imagine being able to make that connection with people on a daily basis with your music. And that's, you know, that's what makes this all so fun and so passionate and exciting for us to get out and do. And I think what gives us the drive and that competitiveness that makes you want to be successful is sharing something that is real and true and honest, you know, in your heart.
I think you just gave us the perfect ending to this conversation.
I know, you make me want to cry.
Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Good luck. Safe out there, will you?
I will. Do my best.
Okay. It's Jim Asker on the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jim.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.